Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Mikey, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Wednesday, May 29th, 2024. Reporter Telegram welcomes new editorial director by Ben Schaefer, staff writer. Hearst has selected Trevor Halls as its next editorial director of the Midland Reporter Telegram. Halls' introduction to the journalism industry came while networking his college summers as a third-shift janitor at the Erie Times-News. Years later, he would return to the Times newsroom first as a sports stringer and then for a year-long internship as a copy editor. Halls joined the Midland Reporter Telegram copy desk in 2010 and was promoted to news editor that same year. He led the copy desk until 2016, when he moved to a new role at the MRT. An assistant managing editor of business and oil, Halls oversaw and contributed to coverage of business, oil and gas, economic development and transportation, as well as the MRT's Business Insider magazine. His coverage of transportation issues in the Permian Basin earned him the American Planning Association Texas Chapter Journalism Award in 2017. "I am delighted that Trevor has returned to the MRT," said Robert Granfeld, general manager of the Reporter Telegram. "He's an outstanding journalist and someone who knows Midland well. I am confident that with his leadership, our organization will thrive." After a half-decade working in school public relations, Halls is thrilled to rejoin the Hearst family and return to journalism. "An informed society is critical to a well-functioning democracy," Halls said. "Navigating today's vast sea of information can be challenging. However, there is no question that for nearly 100 years, the MRT has been the best source for factual information about the Midland community and the oil and gas industry. As editorial editor, I am deeply committed to continuing this tradition of journalistic excellence." Halls is a native of Erie, Pennsylvania, and has been a Midlander for nearly 15 years. He holds a bachelor's in English from Penn State University, which he earned while attending the Behrend campus. He also holds a master's in strategic communication from Texas Tech University. Halls is a longtime guitar player, skilled photographer, and avid reader. Halls said his time in Midland and knowledge of the area will serve him well during his time as editorial editor. "I have a deep understanding of this community, its history, and where it's going, and it's only going up from here," Halls said. 9 Questions with Midland AF founder Stacy Livingston, by Kesley Salinas, staff writer. Stacy Livingston is always ready for an adventure. She has lived in many different cities and tried various business endeavors, including starting a farmer's market and getting a real estate license. She grew up in Colorado and moved to Utah for a college track scholarship. During her time at her university, she lived in Belgium for 3 months for an internship. After she graduated with a degree in marketing and psychology, she was offered a job with the Belgian company and worked there for 10 years. Livingston then shortly moved to Montreal to learn French, then to Southern California, and then to Houston with her husband. In 2019, Livingston and her husband were ready for their new adventure, Midland. Livingston's experience in moving and living in different cities has sparked questions for her, such as where to get Sunday brunch and where the best croissants are. She knew that if she had questions, other people probably did too, which is why she started Midland AF as a passion project. Livingston is the founder and editor-in-chief of Midland AF, the founder and executive director of the Midland Art Crawl, the founder of Livland Media, and she's currently involved in Leadership Midland. The Midland Reporter Telegram recently sat down with Livingston to talk about her endeavors, the challenges she's faced, and life in Midland. "Can you tell me more about Midland AF and the Midland Art Crawl? How did they start? How are they going?" "So as you see, I've moved around a lot, and I have always made myself a plan as to what my life would look like before I go to a place, such as an Excel spreadsheet, to feel like I could hit the ground running, and that I belonged. Coming to Midland, I had a very hard time finding any online information. I did find the Midland Entrepreneurial Challenge, so I thought, well, that's cool. They're giving away money for entrepreneurship. I asked a networking group in the Woodlands if they had been to Midland or were from there, hoping they could give me some insight on what life would be like. There was a common thread of probably 100 comments of how terrible it was and I shouldn't go there. I thought, well, that's crazy. People are there on purpose. When we visited in January 2019 to decide if we wanted to move here, it was not the best time to see Midland at its most beautiful. But it seemed like a new adventure and like there was a lot to be discovered that you couldn't find on the internet. It started with the objective of changing perceptions of Midland because it is highly transient. Lots of people are coming here and have the wrong idea. And to create a sense of community, because a lot of people feel alienated in not being an old Midlander and not feeling like they can make friends and fit into a community there. For the Midland Art Crawl, my friend Kayla Barker asked me to have a drink and basically pitched me that she wanted to start an art crawl like Lubbock or other First Fridays across the nation, but that she decided that I should do it. Like many things, when people plant the seed, I sometimes just run with it. So then my team started researching art crawls and community-wide types of events across the country and put together a plan of what that might look like in Midland and what objections or struggles we might face in trying to implement something like that here. We finally did our first one in 2022, and it was very well received. People really enjoyed it. We found that people were going to local businesses that they always intended to go to but never had, and we're finding that there were a lot of great talented artists here that you don't always see because a lot of times people are just looking at the oil and gas. That was kind of the intent, to create an approachable way to experience art without having to be an art connoisseur, that it is fun and interactive. Wherever you fall on your spectrum of love for art, whether you're an artist yourself, you can get something out of it and have some novelty to explore every quarter and make it so that there's greater visibility to the community. A big part of the launch was making sure that we also had a digital presence where we could have a database of the local artists. I think we have something like 82 members at the moment. Do you do anything business-wise other than Midland AF and the Art Crawl? I have a digital marketing agency called Liveland Media. We focus on helping local businesses get online. That was birthed out of moving here and finding lots of people not taking advantage of the free opportunities to market their business and understanding the importance of a website, you know, citation listings, etc. I have a short-term rental here in Midland and just bought a short-term rental in Taos, New Mexico. My husband has a camp kitchen business called Cans Outdoors, which is something we acquired and are working to relaunch and bring all the manufacturing to Texas. So that was important for us as well. I do lots of things. How has the community influenced your career path? I would say that I have probably sacrificed the dollars for the mission, the broader mission of what I'm trying to achieve. I could work in some other digital marketing capacity. I could work in international business and make a lot more money. But the heart of the mission has always been more important to me. At this point, most of the things I do, I make for Midland to try and solve the problem. So with all the articles that we started posting on the website, they were really answers to things that I wanted to know, like where there's Sunday brunch, or where you can get the best croissants in town. I still use those resources, like family-friendly dining. When you're kind of at a loss, then you can go back to that. I look at Facebook group comments and anything that's submitted to me in direct message to solve the problem that someone else is having, because I assume if someone reached out to me, then someone else is most likely having that problem as well. What are some challenges you've experienced, either business-wise or personally? I mean, for me, it's all business and personal, I would say. I think that there have been a vocal few who don't understand our mission or what we're trying to create. But then also just setbacks with becoming a mom, being a mom of three, basically having the opportunity to step back from your career and put your kids forward, even though that slows your path. So I would say that's been something hard for me to cope with, because I am very hardworking and I'm always doing lots of things. And obviously, if you have three small children under five, then it can make things go slower than you might want. What's one lesson you've learned about living and working in Midland? Everyone knows everyone, or there are 2 degrees of separation. I think that there's a positive in that, but then you never know who you're talking to necessarily. And also not making assumptions. I think it's easy to assume that a native Midlander doesn't want these people coming in and doesn't want change or doesn't want new schools, and that's not necessarily the case. But it's easy to assume they all want the same thing. What is in the future for Midland Art Crawl, Midland AF? Midland Art Crawl is at a special time right now. We had originally started as a program of Midland AF and transitioned to a nonprofit in 2023. That's been a new adventure. I've opened lots of businesses, but have never run a nonprofit, so I'm learning a lot, which has also slowed down the process. We took a break in the spring to recalibrate, expand the board, and look at what we ultimately want it to be. Midland Art Crawl will become a program of the centralized cultural community that we're looking to build, which will also include culinary, film, dance, music, and some of those things that aren't necessarily as well represented in the existing art organizations. We hope to have a centralized hub where we can build that community, offer workshops, and have concerts. We've got a lot of great new board members that are going to help that happen. From a Midland AF perspective, we are hoping to get back to having regular community events. We want to launch a membership program. We have waited a long time to capitalize on the traffic on our website in terms of advertising and sponsorship, and have been intentionally not taking any since we launched it so that we can get that right. And then also making sure that whoever is advertising on our website, that we have common values, and that we share a demographic that will appreciate what they have to offer. We don't do Google AdSense or any of those things that would immediately monetize the platform. We will be launching partnerships that will cross over into what we have planned for community events. We want to start doing quarterly merch drops, where we will partner with local artists to help develop some of those and do that on pre-sale only. We'd eventually like to have a brick and mortar, but that's probably somewhere in the future where it would be handmade or locally made goods and arts from people within the Midland area. What does Midland mean to you? I think of Midland as endless possibilities. I think something that was very hard for me when I moved here was to stop thinking of business ideas. I eventually had many people tell me, okay, that's a new business, you can't do that. I think that it's a playground for entrepreneurship, but also for making sure that people aren't being too competitive with each other. I think that people can get caught up in thinking they can do things better rather than collaborating. So I think that collaboration has gone a long way for Midland, and it's a place with tons of potential and a lot of hearts. What advice would you give to someone new to Midland or thinking about moving here? I would say that one of the largest complaints or outreach that I get on our Instagram is about making friends. Obviously, if you're coming here for an oil and gas job or any job, you kind of have built-in friendships with the people you see every day at your networking events. If you're coming here as a spouse who is not in oil and gas or maybe works from home, it's a lot harder to put yourself out there and do that. But I think that there are lots of opportunities to just follow what you're interested in and meet like-minded people. I think we've just gotten worse at doing that these days. Is there anything you want to add? Anything I should have asked? From an entrepreneurship perspective, I feel like it's a hard place to be. The key to being successful is finding mentors and people who align with your mission and who support you and encourage you to continue, because it can be a very lonely place. Fortunately, we have a lot of great resources here and people who want to help. You just have to ask that person, because we've been there and we probably want the thing you're trying to make. One dead, another injured as a vehicle rolls over in Midland County. By B.K. Richter, staff writer. One man is dead and one woman reported minor injuries after a single vehicle rollover collision Sunday in Midland County. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, a 2009 Buick Lucerne was traveling westbound at approximately 2:04 a.m. along County Road 173. The preliminary report for the fatal collision reported that the driver, 31-year-old Sabrina Ann Thompson of Andrews, failed to drive in a single lane as it navigated a turn approaching the intersection of County Road 1210. The improper turn is said to have caused the Buick to leave the roadway. The passenger of the vehicle, 27-year-old Dillis Marcus Belsheim of Odessa, was pronounced dead at the scene. Reports indicated that the Buick rolled several times and struck a utility pole on the west side of County Road 1210, causing the vehicle to become engulfed in flames. Thompson sustained minor injuries and was transported to Midland Memorial Hospital. Belsheim was ejected from the vehicle and pronounced dead by the Midland County Death Investigator. This crash remains under investigation, and no further information is available. Storms leave widespread outages across Texas. By Leakin Oyekanmi and John Sewer, Associated Press. Houston. Strong storms with damaging winds and baseball-sized hail pummeled Texas on Tuesday, leaving more than 1 million businesses and homes without power as much as the U.S. recovered from severe weather, including tornadoes that killed at least 24 people during the Memorial Day holiday weekend. Widespread outages were reported in North Texas, which includes Dallas and Fort Worth, where an oppressive early season heat wave added to the misery. More than 300,000 customers in Dallas County alone lacked electricity Tuesday as the outages extended into rural East Texas, according to PowerOutage.us. Voters in the state's runoff elections found dozens of polling places without power. Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins declared a disaster area and noted that some nursing homes were using generators. This ultimately will be a multi-day power outage situation, Jenkins said Tuesday. Around Houston, cars crawled through flooded highways and more than 300,000 customers were without power in the area, which includes parts still recovering from hurricane-force winds earlier this month. Destructive storms over the weekend caused deaths in Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Kentucky, North Carolina, and Virginia. Meanwhile, in the Midwest, an unusual weather phenomenon called a gustnado that looks like a small tornado brought some dramatic moments to a western Michigan lake over the weekend. Federal Emergency Management Agency Administrator Deanne Criswell will travel to Arkansas on Wednesday as the Biden administration continues assessing the damage from the weekend tornadoes. Seven people were killed in Cook County, Texas from a tornado that tore through a mobile home park Saturday, officials said, and an additional seven deaths were reported across Arkansas. Two people died in Mays County, Oklahoma, east of Tulsa, authorities said. The injured included guests at an outdoor wedding. A Missouri man died Sunday after a tree limb fell onto his tent as he was camping. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear said five people had died in his state during storms that struck close to where a devastating swarm of twisters killed 81 people in December 2021. One family lost their home for a second time on the same lot where a twister leveled their house less than 3 years ago. Roughly 150,000 homes and businesses lacked electricity midday Tuesday in Louisiana, Kentucky, Arkansas, West Virginia, and Missouri. It has been a grim month of tornadoes and severe weather in the nation's midsection. Tornadoes in Iowa last week left at least five people dead and dozens injured. Storms killed eight people in Houston this month. April had the second highest number of tornadoes on record in the country. The storms come as climate change contributes in general to the severity of storms around the world. Late May is the peak of tornado season, but the recent storms have been exceptionally violent, producing very strong tornadoes, said Victor Gensini, a meteorology professor at Northern Illinois University. Over the weekend, we've had a lot of hot and humid air, a lot of gasoline, a lot of fuel for these storms, and we've had a really strong jet stream as well. That jet stream has been aiding in providing the wind shear necessary for these types of tornadoes, Gensini said. Harold Brooks, a senior scientist at the National Severe Storms Laboratory in Norman, Oklahoma, said a persistent pattern of warm, moist air is to blame for the string of tornadoes over the past 2 months. That air is at the northern edge of a heat dome, bringing temperatures typically seen at the height of summer to late May. The heat index, a combination of air temperature and humidity to indicate how the heat feels to the human body, reached triple digits in parts of South Texas and was expected to stay there for several days. Frank Farrell Chivo Davis was born on March 12, 1944, and passed away peacefully, surrounded by his family, on May 24, 2024, in Midland, Texas. The family expresses their sincere gratitude to the intensive care unit staff at Midland Memorial Hospital and to Dr. Summer Merritt. The service will be held at the First Methodist Church of Midland on Thursday, May 30th at 2 p.m. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that donations be directed to Manor Park of Midland, 2208 North Loop 250, Midland, Texas, 79707, or Lone Hollow Ranch Young Life Camp, 1010 Cooley Lane, Vanderpool, Texas, 78885. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com. Denver Dean Anthony was born on September 27, 1946. And passed away peacefully at home on May 24th, 2024 in Midland. A viewing will be held on Thursday, May 30th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Natalie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home. The family will have a private burial Friday, May 31st with a memorial service to follow at 2 p.m. at Natalie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home Chapel, with Chaplain Clark Racka officiating. A special thanks to Hospice of Midland for their wonderful care during Dean's last days. Arrangements are under the direction of Natalie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com. Maria del Pilar Morales, 57 of Midland, passed away Sunday, May 26, 2024. She was born August 14, 1966, in Ojinaga, Chihuahua, Mexico. The family will receive friends for visitation Thursday, May 30th, from 4 to 8 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home, 4616 North Big Spring Street. The rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. Funeral Mass will be Friday, May 31st, 2024, at 2 p.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church, followed by burial at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Annette L. Navarro, 23 of Midland, passed away on Wednesday, May 22nd, 2024. A viewing was held on Tuesday, May 28, 2024, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., with a prayer service held at 7 p.m. at Templo Pacto de Alabanza y Amistad, 209 West Wolcott Avenue, Midland, Texas, 79701. Funeral service is set for Wednesday, May 29, 2024, at 1 p.m. at Templo Pacto de Alabanza y Amistad. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Funeral service is under the direction of Lee Wallen Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.leewallengarciapipkinfh.com.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, May 29th, 2024. Midland Memorial. Midland Memorial unveils latest DAISY Award winner. Midland Memorial Hospital is proud to announce that Emma Sprague, BSN, of the Medical Unit, has been awarded the prestigious DAISY Award. This honor is bestowed upon a nurse who exemplifies extraordinary nursing care and compassion toward patients and their families. For over 70 years, Midland Memorial Hospital has been at the forefront of providing exceptional health care services to the residents of Midland County and beyond. In line with its mission to lead the community toward better health, the hospital celebrates the dedication and achievements of its nursing staff through the DAISY Award. This recognition aligns perfectly with the hospital's commitment to excellence in patient care and service. The DAISY Award criteria include demonstrating empathy and a caring attitude, extraordinary clinical skills, a positive attitude, and professionalism in the work environment, and embodying the mission, vision, and values of Midland Memorial Hospital. Emma Sprague's nomination highlighted her exceptional ability to connect with patients and families, especially during their most vulnerable times. Quote, "We were overjoyed to see Emma's familiar face, smile, and welcoming attitude. Since our stay was during the holidays, Emma always offered her ear and shoulder to hear our sadness about not being able to be home. She is extremely knowledgeable and always explains every procedure and medication and answers any questions or concerns. Her favorite phrase with my husband always before leaving the room was to ask, 'Necessita algo, do you need anything?' Since the nominator, said the nominator and their family, expressing deep gratitude for Sprague's support and care. Sprague's commitment to patient care and her embodiment of the hospital's values have earned her this esteemed award. Quote, receiving the DAISY Award is a tremendous honor. Being recognized by the patients and families we serve is truly humbling. It reinforces why we as nurses do what we do every day," end quote, said Sprague upon receiving the award. Midland Memorial Hospital congratulates Sprague for her outstanding contributions to nursing and patient care. This award serves as a testament to the exceptional staff and the high standard of care at MMH. Midland Health. Nominations open for Great Nurses Program. The Permian Basin Great 25 Nurses Recognition Program is now accepting nominations for its 2024 Class of Great Nurses. Nurses from Andrews, Borden, Brewster, Crane, Dawson, Ector, Gaines, Glasscock, Howard, Loving, Martin, Midland, Mitchell, Pecos, Reagan, Reeves, Terrell, Upton, Ward, and Winkler counties are eligible for selection. This program highlights the contributions of these behind-the-scenes heroes who have dedicated their lives to serving others. More information about the program is available at pbgreat25.com. Nominations are open until July 21st, and nomination forms can be found and submitted on the website or emailed to board@pbgreat25.com. The winning 25 nurses will be announced in October, preceding a recognition ceremony. This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, May 29th, 2024. Midland Memorial. Midland Memorial unveils latest DAISY Award winner. Midland Memorial Hospital is proud to announce that Emma Sprague, BSN, of the medical unit, has been awarded the prestigious DAISY Award. This honor is bestowed upon a nurse who exemplifies extraordinary nursing care and compassion toward patients and their families. For over 70 years, Midland Memorial Hospital has been at the forefront of providing exceptional health care services to the residents of Midland County and beyond. In line with its mission to lead the community toward better health, the hospital celebrates the dedication and achievements of its nursing staff through the DAISY Award. This recognition aligns perfectly with the hospital's commitment to excellence in patient care and service. The DAISY Award criteria include demonstrating empathy and a caring attitude, extraordinary clinical skills, a positive attitude, and professionalism in the work environment, and embodying the mission, vision, and values of Midland Memorial Hospital. Emma Sprague's nomination highlighted her exceptional ability to connect with patients and families, especially during their most vulnerable times. Quote, "We were overjoyed to see Emma's familiar face, smile, and welcoming attitude. Since our stay was during the holidays, Emma always offered her ear and shoulder to hear our sadness about not being able to be home. She is extremely knowledgeable and always explains every procedure and medication and answers any questions or concerns. Her favorite phrase with my husband always before leaving the room was to ask, 'Necessita algo, do you need anything?' Since the nominator, said the nominator and their family, expressing deep gratitude for Sprague's support and care. Sprague's commitment to patient care and her embodiment of the hospital's values have earned her this esteemed award. Quote, "Receiving the DAISY Award is a tremendous honor. Being recognized by the patients and families we serve is truly humbling. It reinforces why we as nurses do what we do every day," end quote, said Sprague upon receiving the award. Midland Memorial Hospital congratulates Sprague for her outstanding contributions to nursing and patient care. This award serves as a testament to the exceptional staff and the high standard of care at MMH. Midland Health. Nominations open for Great Nurses Program. The Permian Basin Great 25 Nurses Recognition Program is now accepting nominations for its 2024 Class of Great Nurses. Nurses from Andrews, Borden, Brewster, Crane, Dawson, Ector, Gaines, Glasscock, Howard, Loving, Martin, Midland, Mitchell, Pecos, Reagan, Reeves, Terrell, Upton, Ward, and Winkler counties are eligible for selection. This program highlights the contributions of these behind-the-scenes heroes who have dedicated their lives to serving others. More information about the program is available at pbgreat25.com. Nominations are open until July 21st, and nomination forms can be found and submitted on the website or emailed to board@pbgreat25.com. The winning 25 nurses will be announced in October, preceding a recognition ceremony. Mayo Clinic Minute. Does intermittent fasting increase heart disease risk? For years, people have used intermittent fasting to lose unwanted pounds, while others fast for religious reasons. The popular diet trend is generally safe, but some studies suggest that time-restricted eating could cause heart problems. Dr. Francisco Lopez Jimenez, a Mayo Clinic cardiologist, says this type of dieting isn't for everyone. There are several ways to do intermittent fasting. The 16-8 method is popular. This involves eating during an 8-hour window daily. Many dieters do this by skipping breakfast. Quote, it actually became popular because studies on fruit flies show that when you restrict the calories, the flies will actually live longer. But we are not flies, end quote, says Lopez Jimenez. Time-restrictive dieting can promote weight loss, improve insulin sensitivity, and reduce inflammation. However, some research shows this practice could possibly increase cardiovascular risks. Quote, this recent study actually showed that those people practicing intermittent fasting are twice as likely of dying from heart disease or dying in general than those who don't practice this, end quote, explains Lopez Jimenez. The reasons behind the risk factors are unclear. Before trying intermittent fasting, it's a good idea to check with your healthcare team. The three most popular intermittent fasting methods are alternate day fasting, 5-2 fasting, eat normal for 5 days and restrict calories for 2 days, daily time-restricted fasting.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.